John chapter 10. John chapter 10, the first 18 verses. If you need a Bible, there's a stack of them on the table right back there. Feel free to get one. If you're using the Bible from that table, John 10 is found on page 759. 759. It's also the text for the day in this book, Seeking God's Face. If you're here for the first time, we as a church are using this book, Seeking God's Face, as a guide, a yearly guide. Inside the book are scripture readings and their prayers. Prayers that follow the and readings that follow the Christian calendar. Each and every day we're using this to read together, to pray together, to seek God's face together. If you'd like a copy, there's some copies back there on the table afterward. Feel free to get it. But the text for today, John 10, is the one we're going to look at. That's the reading for today. So John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Here Jesus says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Then verse 4 again. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. So people of God, you and I, we are followers. As much as we may hate to admit it or try to avoid it, all of us are followers. Take our clothing, for example. All of us wear a certain style or a certain trend of clothing, don't we? Some of us may be a little bit more current trend than others, but we all follow some type of trend. And the fashion industry knows this. They know it very well. They know that you and I like to follow clothing trends. Therefore, retailers and designers spend all kinds of money in order to entice you to follow them. Or take home improvements, for example. Have you ever noticed that when one of your neighbors starts to make some type of improvement, the other neighbors start to follow suit? This week on Lonsdale, it was spread the new mulch in the landscape beds week it was. The Borst family, they started doing it last year. Truck dumped 10 yards of mulch in their driveway, and I said, good luck, Dan. If you don't know how much 10 yards of mulch is, just call somebody and have them deliver it, and you'll see. It's humongous. And then the Boones and the Van Houtens followed during the middle of the week, and then the Danings and the Vanderstelts, they followed over this past weekend. One neighbor starts, and the rest follow suit. In our old neighborhood, the old lady across the street replaced her driveway. A year later, the old lady next to her tore up a perfectly fine driveway and replaced her driveway so that it looked like her neighbor's driveway. We're followers, aren't we? Have you ever heard of this cold water challenge? Something that's going around Facebook just a little bit. The challenge is this. You have a friend or maybe an enemy, depending on how you view them, but they challenge you to go into the cold water, don't they? To jump in a cold lake. And what do? You do because you're cheap, right? It's either jump in the cold water or pay $100 to charity. So what do? You wake up at 8 in the morning. You call a friend at a lake and you say, can I stop by? Right? And then what do? You follow the orders and you run out into the lake. You dive under and you think, what in the world am I doing? You get out before hypothermia sets in. You follow directions. You follow the challenge. You follow and do what you're told. You and I are followers. Right? We follow news feeds. We follow Twitter. We follow bloggers. We follow our favorite TV shows. We follow book series. There are all kinds of things and peoples and ideas and philosophies for you and me to follow. Kind of like sheep, aren't we? Because you and I are followers, again and again, Jesus stresses the importance of knowing who and what we're following. Because you and I are like sheep, because you and I are followers, Jesus stresses again and again the importance of knowing who or what it is that we are following. Jesus stresses the importance of knowing who or what we are listening to. Tell me this, did you notice anything about the readings in your Seeking God's Face this past week? Listen to what I noticed. Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If only you would listen to me. Psalm 81, verse 13. If my people would only listen to me. Psalm 83, verse 1. O God, do not remain silent. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will listen to what the Lord God says. The thing that I saw, the thing that I heard, was the plea of the psalmist to hear from God and to listen to Him. The reading for today is John 10. John 10, verses 1 through 6. And Gary Burge, in his commentary on these verses, reminds us about the setting. He reminds us about the setting for this story in John. He reminds us that the setting for these words of Jesus was just before Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication. We learn this in verse 22. If you read right to the very end. Then in verse 22, it says this, "Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem." Jesus tells his disciples, tells his followers this story about a sheep and a shepherd right before the feast of dedication. The question is, why? Hanukkah is a feast. The feast of dedication. It's the feast when the Jewish people remembered the rededication of the temple in 165 BC, 165 years before Jesus came to earth. The rededication was done by the Maccabees, conservative Jewish people, who wanted to remove the influences of the Greeks. They wanted to remove the Hellenization, this Greek influence, this Greek thought that was creeping in. They wanted to remove that from the Jewish faith and the leadership. Prior to the year 165 BC, the Jewish people who dwelled in Judea were living under the rule of the Greek kings of Damascus. And during this time, Seleucid King Antiochus Epiphanes, the Greco-Syrian king, he took control of the temple in Jerusalem and also forced the Jewish people to abandon their worship of God, to abandon their holy customs, and to abandon their reading of the Torah. He made them instead bow down to the Greek gods. And according to the records, King Antiochus defiled the temple by sacrificing a pig on the altar and spilling its blood on the holy scrolls, or the Torah, and the holy scrolls of Scripture. And a pig was an unclean animal. No unclean animal would go into the temple. So this was defiling the temple in that way. Now, did you catch what they did? During this period, before 165, the Syrian kings forced the Jewish people to abandon their worship of God, the true God. They forced them to abandon their customs, their worship, and forced them to abandon or to stop, cease their reading of the Torah, God's law, God's instruction for them as His people. He forced them to listen to and to follow someone or something else besides the one true God. Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, Burge reminds us, was a time, a season of the year when the Jews would ask hard questions. They would ask hard questions about failed leadership and false shepherds. Leaders were referred to as shepherds. They would ask, how did the temple leadership lose its way during this period? How did they lose their way? Where were they? Where were the shepherds? What must shepherds do today? These were the questions that they would ask. Hanukkah was a time when the people would ask, where's the leadership? Where are the shepherds? Who are the false shepherds around us? It was in this context that Jesus gives this sermon, gives this message, gives this teaching about the shepherd and the sheep. This message about the good shepherd. Given this context, what is Jesus saying to his disciples? What is he saying to the people of his day? What is he saying to you and to me who are listening here this morning, who are listening today? I want to highlight three things. Three things. First, one of the things that Jesus is saying is that there are different kinds of shepherds out there. There's different kinds of leader. There's different kinds of people and ideas that you can follow, that you can listen to. Jesus says not all of them can be trusted. Some, in fact, are thieves and robbers. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is what? Is a thief and a robber. What is the intention of a thief? What is the intention of a robber? What are they after? Your peace? Your harmony? Your goodwill? What do they seek to do? To steal, to kill, to destroy. They don't care about you. They just care about maybe something that you have. Jesus says not everyone or everything that enters into our lives and calls out to us to follow, follow me, is trustworthy. Some will steal and some will rob. Second thing that Jesus says is this. I am what? I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, follow me. How do we know that Jesus is a good shepherd? How do we know that he is not a thief and not a robber? What's different about Jesus than a thief and a robber? What does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd lays down what? His life for the sheep. A thief and a robber is after your life. They want you to lay down your life for them. They don't care about your life. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Easter. The time we remember the cross and the empty tomb. Why is Jesus the good shepherd? Because what does he bring? He brings freedom. Freedom. He brings healing. He brings forgiveness. He brings grace. He brings compassion. Do you remember what some of the things that people said they were thankful for? Do you remember some of the things that people said that they liked about God? He is slow to anger and abounding in love. That's right. A year ago I was in this place. Today I am healed. I am in a different place. The good shepherd lays down his life, and in so doing, brings life, brings healing, brings restoration. A thief and a robber takes life, destroys life. The good shepherd came so that we might have life. Not just any ordinary life, but life to the full. The full. He emptied himself so that you and I may be full. A thief and a robber comes so that we might be empty. They go off with your wallet. They go off with your TV. They take off with your car and they leave you empty. Jesus came and we are full. First thing, there are different kinds of shepherds out there. Not all can be trusted. The second thing Jesus says is, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. The third thing he says is, follow me. Follow me. Know and recognize my voice. Know and recognize my voice. Follow me. Follow me. How do you and I learn? How do you learn? How do you and I know? How do we learn to recognize his voice? by learning what He says, by listening to Him, by giving Him an ear, by making space, by giving time, by turning down the other voices, by turning away from the other leaders, by turning away from the other shepherds that are out there and giving an ear. This is a purpose for seeking God's face. We're almost a half year into it. Why do we do this? Why do we accept this challenge to seek God's face each and every day? Why do we read? Why do we listen? Why do we pray? It's because we need to hear. We need to hear. We need to make space for Him to fill us up. And to push out and push away those other things that seek to bring us down. Jesus says, "My sheep follow me because they know my voice." Do you know His voice? Can you distinguish His voice from someone else's? And do you know it in a Hebrew way? Do you know His voice in a Hebrew sense? Not in a Greek sense, but in a Hebrew sense. Lois Verberg reminds us that listening, right, and hearing in our culture is a mental activity. It means that our ears pick up sounds and we pick up concepts and we pick up ideas with our head. But in Hebrew, right, hearing and knowing describes the effects of those words on our hearts and on our lives. It moves from here, just computing, into here, right? The soul, the essence of who we are. To hear and to know means we take heed. It means we obey. It means we do what it is that we hear. It's Mother's Day, and what do mothers say to us? They say, you know, clean up your room. Pick up your clothes. Clean up the dishes. Yeah, Mom. Yeah, Mom. I hear you. I hear you. The clothes are still there, however, right? And the dishes are still on the table, and the room is a disaster a few hours later. We heard Mom, didn't we? We did. We listened, but it didn't sink in. We follow and we know when we obey and we pick Him up and we put Him down the chute. So down they go, and hopefully they come back up clean. And down they go. We know when we obey and when what we hear begins to shape who we are and how we live. We know it with our heart. How do we know the word is from God? Dallas Willard says, this book, a whole book on how do you know? When you hear, when you follow, how do you know? I reviewed this book again this week. And what does he say? He says, experience. How do you know it's from God? How do you know it's Him that is talking to you? That it's Him that you're following? He says experience. How do you and I gain experience? We gain experience by making time and making space for experience to happen and develop. We make room for Him. We allow His words, right? His Word through Scripture. We allow His Word through His Spirit to enter into our hearts and our lives. And Along the way, I'm sure we learn through mistakes. I thought this was the Lord, but I realized, no, it was just myself. Or it was a false shepherd. Experience teaches us, doesn't it? It does. Jesus says to us, "My sheep follow me because they know my voice. They know my voice. They know my voice." Easter is about freedom. Gail reminded us that again this morning. Easter is about freedom. Jesus wants us to be free. He wants us to be free from those false shepherds. He wants us to be free from those competing voices. He wants us to experience the freedom that comes when we hear and when we follow Him. Pray with me this morning. Father in heaven, we come before you now to make space for you. We open up our hearts, we open up our lives. We say to you today again that we want to follow. We say to you that we want to know, not just with our heads, but with our hearts. We want to know the freedom that you have for us. Shepherding God, if left on our own, our faith would flounder. And we would wander and we would lose our way. So we thank you today that our salvation rests in the undeserved grace that you won for us, that you have given to us. That our salvation rests on the promises that you speak to us through your word. Thank you that we are kept protected because you have laid your life down for us. Enable us today, Lord. Enable us today and in the days to come to follow you, to follow your voice, to follow your lead in our lives. Help us to know. Help us to know your voice and to welcome it into our hearts and lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things, and all God's people said,